Welcome to episode 105 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Following an initial meeting with a new corporate client in the past week, I was recently commissioned to shoot a series of simple illustrative pictures for use on the web. On this occasion, my first outing for the client in question was nothing glamorous, and in fact, what I produced was far from the sort of imagery I'll be shooting for them in the future. Although not the most exciting of assignments, it was certainly a challenge due to the nature of the subject matter, but the resulting pictures will do a great job of getting the message across on the client's website. In this week's show then, I'm in conversation with my friend and fellow photographer, Matt Sills, who lent a hand on the shoot. And, as you'll hear, it was a good job that my instincts proved correct in asking for assistance. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 105. So, as I look at my clock, it's 7 o'clock in the evening, and I am sat with my fellow photographer and friend, Matt Sills, in Matt's office, actually. We've just got back from doing a shoot today. I asked Matt to come along to help out with a new client of mine. Not at all glamorous. It's not the sort of work that I'm typically going to be shooting for this client, but it was a first step to get some shots for their website, leading to better and more interesting and exciting things. Matt, are you tired?
Very tired. I was tired before we started, to be honest.
It's been a long day. It's been a long day.
An excitable three-year-old who likes getting up early.
There is that. So, okay, so the shots today, very simply, there are only two sets of pictures. One was of some very sort of nice classical furniture that suggests corporate corporate business, things like Chesterfields and studded chairs,
yeah,
and
leather top desks,
that sort of thing. That, as you will come to hear, was not a problem shooting that. That was quite nice. We left
dull but easy.
We left that sort of to last. And all of this was a complete far cry from shooting people on mountain bikes or camping or hill walking, which I usually do. But the second picture was a photograph of a picture. Now,
it was an etching.
Now,
stainless steel.
And there are two issues with this, because if you've ever tried to photograph a picture, if you're sensible, you'll do one of two things. First of all, if possible, you'll take the picture out of the frame so you don't have the reflections. You then have to think about lighting it evenly. The other thing you might do if you do have to deal with those reflections is to maybe use a polarizing filter, which, for those of you who don't know, a circular polarizer, for example, you rotate it whilst it's on the front of your lens, and by the magic of photography, it just maybe not altogether removes the reflections, but if it doesn't do that, it certainly reduces them considerably. So we had a double whammy with this, in that we had we couldn't take the picture out of the glass, the etching out of the glass frame, the glass fronted frame, and it was this like etched into this brushed metal, which meant that that had a reflectancy of its own, and that's where the fun began, because we went into this thinking, okay, we've got a bag full of lighting. I took some Bowens mains powered lighting. We had a whole battery of Nikon speed lights, load of reflectors, soft boxes, and in the event that particular shot, well, Matt can tell us how it sort of started when we went out into the car park.
Yeah, well, we went out to the car park. Well, we tried to light it with the flash to start with and realised, because we couldn't take it out of the glass, it was just giving us lots and lots of reflections. So I thought, let's try and do it in daylight, which, you know, seemed to make sense. So we took it out there.
Into the car park.
And thought, okay, we'll put some blackout material up around it to sort of cut out reflections and what have you, which worked pretty well.
And just to explain, I haven't decided on the final picture that I'm going to put with the show notes, but I have got one quick snap I took on my phone which shows the picture on the floor with some of the
blackout with
our rigging.
And this, and this was
and stands. And
yeah, and the well. Material was like, is it? It's like
velvet.
Velvet.
It's black velvet because that soaks up the light pretty well. So yeah, it worked sort of. We got rid of a lot of the reflections, but then in doing that, we picked up a black reflection in the stainless steel that this thing was etched on, which just made the picture look completely wrong.
And that the essentially, if you can picture, the camera was on a tripod, and for those of you who want to know, it's a Series 2 Traveller Gitzo.
Which is rubbish.
Well, I'm not saying the tripod is
tripod's
very
great.
Good.
The head is useless.
The matched head that I've got, because this is a review item, it's not the most user friendly, and I have made this my thoughts quite clear to Manfrotto, who is the sister company with
CAC, basically. That's how I've described
But basically, so the camera was there. It was a D800 with a 50mm 1.4, and that was pointed at this picture. And so if you imagine you've got the velvet, the black velvet to camera, left, right, behind the picture and on the ground, leading up so that it covers up over the tripod legs, the stands. And we had sandbags and other things holding this sort of rig. But essentially the only lighting we were using came from above, just the daylight. It wasn't a bright sunlight. It was a bright day, but there wasn't direct sunlight shining into the set.
And it would have been fine if we weren't shooting something that was made of stainless steel.
Oh yeah, if it had been just
a regular painting
like would have been absolutely,
it would
fine.
Absolutely perfect. It would have been fine.
Yeah. And we also brought the velvet round behind the camera, and it had originally been my intention to kind of cut a hole in the velvet and poke the lens through, but for one reason or another, that didn't happen today. So it kind of worked okay, and although we weren't shooting tethered, we did actually have a MacBook with where we kind of reviewed the pictures now and then, and it got to a point, so we kind of looked at it, and it was okay, but it was quite clear that it was going to need a fair bit of work afterwards just to remove. It's all very well removing those one or two reflections that were left, but then in so doing, you start to lose the integrity of the picture, and part of the feature was all this fine etching.
The metallic effect as well.
Now, the thing that saved the day was a throwaway remark that I made as I was walking actually somewhere along the way.
One hour previous,
walking back towards this impromptu set, and I happened to say to Matt, "Oh, look, there's no reflections from back there." And we thought nothing of it.
So an hour and 15 minutes later, after messing around with this thing, I suddenly remembered Giles' comment and it slipped into place. So I thought, hang on. I said, right, I'm going off, Giles. I'll be back in a minute. And I come back with a 200mm lens on the other camera and decided to shoot it from halfway across the car park. And it worked fine.
And it worked
didn't need any lights, didn't need anything to block reflections.
No. And all that that's going to need is just making sure the blacks look nice and rich.
Yeah,
making
sort of blacks out, straighten the whole thing up a little bit, because it's a little bit on the wonk. But
that was that. That kind of... So it just goes to show you can set up a... I mean, it wasn't an elaborate set. It was kind of
standard. We had all the gear and no idea.
We had the idea, we just didn't realise it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of good. So that was... it was a half-day shoot. So actually, you always try to allow enough time so you don't want to have to discuss with the client about we've run over by an hour and whether they're happy to pay extra or whether you decide not to charge them, and because it's no point sort of laying blame or trying to accuse someone of having a subject matter that is too complicated, because at the end of the day you're the photographer. If you don't think you're up to the job, you shouldn't be taking that job on anyway. So we quite rapidly took down our blackout set, and that kind of got bundled into the back of the car.
Get rid of that.
Good riddance and all that. And then we had to do these other shots, which were by comparison a lot easier. It was a lit shot. We had a single SB900, I think it was Nikon, attached to a pocket wizard, again on the D800, but we started with a 50mm 1.4 again, and we moved to a 24-70 later on for certain shots. But again, the colours are important, because starting off we had this really nice leather chair, and you got the brass tacks there, which in the studs, which with the detail, really nice kind of green, mottled green kind of colour, this chair. And looking at the like the working images, the previews of the website that these will be slotting into, there was a certain a certain feel to like the depth of the colours and the tones that needed to be used. So for that reason, we decided to use a grey, absolutely plain grey, I suppose battleship grey, I guess. Kind of neutral anyway.
Really,
those of you listening,
just a grey colour armour.
Well, yeah, and it was like on a roll, and we had a backdrop stand, so we just pulled it out.
On a roll that seems to have some flat edges.
Yeah, most intriguing. You think if it's on a roll, it shouldn't have any edges. The whole point of those is that it's like a seamless infinity backdrop. Now, one thing worth saying is that if you were working in a studio, say shooting portraits and what have you, you would set the camera and the subject so far back from the background that that would be out of focus, and it wouldn't be an issue. But we're working in this office space, which had a limited sort of depth. But just to give you an idea, those of you that used to use a grey card for your meter readings and what have you in the past, I still use one for colour reference on occasions. But that's a kind of grey. So it's kind of a closed sort of small set, and the only lighting, again, to begin with, put the camera on a tripod just to free us up a little bit. But it was just a single light it was the SB900 in a Elastolite Easy Box, which was I can't remember what size that one.
It's about that big.
It's about a meter.
Yeah.
It's about a meter.
I don't know.
Yeah, because we used your one. And don't mind saying mine's bigger than yours, and so that was is about a meter, I think. But it was enough because we didn't want too much light spilling sort of onto the background, just enough to create a bit of depth in there. But the main thing was just to keep it absolutely simple, because when the web design team come to put those pictures on the site, they just need a really nice clean image to work with. So that was kind of the first shot of, we did a full length shot of this chair, which was kind of, well, is what it was. It didn't move, it just sat there. It was just nice
chair.
It was a very nice chair, but it was it's kind of not exciting. A lot of we've known for many years that it's not all glamour being a photographer. Now, a lot of regular listeners will know that I'm often out in the woodland, I'm sort of testing equipment, I'm sort of camping and doing all this sort of walking and mountain biking stuff. You know, I do shoot for corporates, and sometimes the imagery that they need as illustrative images are quite dull.
Yeah.
It's not glamorous. But the fun or challenging bit was just, I won't say the fun bit was the picture, because it certainly wasn't fun. But lighting, it was nice to light this chair using this one light, which is on a boom over the top, probably, I guess, about a metre and a half above. Just with a bit of fall off onto the background. Played around with trying to fill some of the shadows under where the casters are, where the legs are. To varying degrees of success, and I forget the final shot we used. I think it was a tiny bit of fill with the second light that we just shot through the diffuser
and a reflector.
And that was that. And then we shot the top of this leather top desk, which was really quite kind of, there was nothing really to say about it. It was the top of a desk.
Yeah,
you know, just trying to get a bit of an angle. But again, context is everything. When you see it on the website,
great on the website.
It's going to look lovely because the tones just match in with what they're trying to get across.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. It really was a.
It was just rock and roll as that, wasn't it?
It really was. So, the way it's been left now, basically, I'm going to go away not this evening because I want to be with my family and have some food and just relax.
Eat some lamb.
I've got a leg of pork. I can't wait. Wonderful. Don't get me talking about food, because I'll just not think about photography. It's my two passions in life. But so when I'm in the office in the morning, I'm going to bring up a selection of shots, because all the shots on the memory card are the good, bad, the ugly, and everything in between. It's all the test shots. It's all the, you know, just sort of working visually, working through the concept. But I'm going to put together a selection. I'm not going to do any post-production on them, but I am going to upload them through a password-protected area for the clients and the web design guys to have a look at. And they'll basically be able to say, okay, we want that one, and that one. And then I'll say, fine, give me a day or so, and I will work those images and supply you, those will be low res, supply you the high res versions, and it will be things like the ridges, which shouldn't have been, but nonetheless were, on the backdrops. Yeah. Those won't be there.
Yeah.
When if the highlights are looking a little bit hot in places, I think we nailed it, actually. They weren't too hot.
No, it's fine.
But just, again, just making sure that they've got something to be going with. They're happy to, and it may be that they take a couple of days to get back to me because they'll want to go back and forth.
They'll
want to
look through them and really choose and make sure they got the right one.
Yeah, and there's, in that sense, there's no real rush. It's just how long it takes. But my argument is always, you don't know what happens tomorrow. It might suddenly have to nip out, and if I put stuff off and put it off and put it off, before you know it, a week goes by and you get caught out because you've got a backlog of work. Yep. You know. Once that's done, that's essentially it. And I'll just look forward to seeing the pictures on the site. I've got to give Matt some money. That's the other thing.
I'll give you some money for something else. So I'm sure
balances out.
Comes out in the wash.
Yeah, but you know, it's an interesting point. For years, there's been this thing that I think it's a lot better in the UK now. But you know, so Matt and I are both photographers. We're sat here having a chat. I've known Matt since we were at university, anyway. But if we didn't already have that connection, there's no way that we would be talking about a client shoot. There's no way, definitely, that I'd ask Matt to come and help me on one of my client shoot, because you might try and muscle in there and what have you. Matt specifically.
I'd never do that to anybody else.
No, I know you wouldn't. But you've had this for years, and we've got other photographers that I'm sure we can both think of that they still have this mentality whereby they don't want to be open. They don't want to.
Yeah.
The lighting techniques that we use, whether we work together or independently, they're all out there.
They're not mine.
They're not copyrighted. Like,
no.
You know, you can light a picture a thousand ways, but you just got to find out how to do it. It's all out there. You can look at other people's pictures. But it's nice to, like, I've, you know, regular listeners will know, a few weeks back, I went and helped Matt with the latest of the Focus on Imaging ad campaign press shots, or press ad shots, yeah, I should say.
I guess.
And again, you know, we know where we stand. I was shooting behind the scenes stuff. I did the podcast on location. I recorded, and I'll of course link to this in the show notes.
Very fine podcast. It was too.
Well, thank you very much. I think you stayed awake during that one.
I did.
That's because it had your voice in it. You were interested. You see. But no, it's interesting. It's nice that Matt and I always get on. We kind of chalk and cheese a lot of the time.
Yep.
Certainly with.
I wasn't going to swear then, but I won't.
No, because I don't want extra work to have to bleep out the podcast. But no, it's really good to kind of team up, and there's a lot of stuff coming along in the future. And actually, one of the things as we're just sort of leaving, my client, obviously, I was saying cheerio to him, and he's saying cheerio to Matt. And he said, "Oh yeah, I'm sure we'll see you again. What have you?" Because we've got another shot. With this new client, I've got another shoot lined up for the near future, and I'll more than likely want Matt to come and help out. And so it's nice to
show you how to do it.
It's nice for the client to kind of meet the team, as it were. Yeah. You know, so you know, Matt knows this more than a lot of people. You know, sometimes you work with one or two people. Other times you'll have, like when we did that. The shoot in the tunnel, we had like 13 people,
something like that.
It was a much bigger production. But clients, first and foremost, like honesty. So if you can't do a job that because you're not available, you either say, okay, well, if we can reschedule, it'd be great. Otherwise, I can send someone else to do it. And again, goes back to trust, and we know we're not going to nick each other's clients and what have you. But they like to see that you know, a lot of photographers pride themselves on being a one-man outfit, and it's all about them, and they don't like to ask for help, certainly not from other photographers, God forbid. But actually, Matt and I are both of the opinion that if we need help, it's going to work out better for the client because they're going to be happier with the results.
Yeah, it makes everyone's life easier.
You know. So, yeah, it was just a half-day shoot and we've just been sat here having a cup of tea and sort of the traffic would have died down a bit now, so I'm going to get home to my lovely dinner, which my wife assures...
Nice bit of pork.
My wife assures me that she's been, sort of getting dinner going. It's really good. So, anyway, just a very quick sort of whistle-stop tour of this little low-key shoot, because it was low-key, despite the epic considerations. And, I don't think... Can you think of anything else, Matt, that we kind of need to add to that? I mean, there's...
Lesson learned today, when it's all going a bit mad, step back and look at it from a different angle, and you might find your answer.
Absolutely. And the same...
You have that one.
Thank you very much. But the same goes for any situation. You might be on a hillside, or you might, I spend a lot of time walking through the woodlands, as regular listeners will know. And sometimes I'm shooting stock or looking, scouting for locations. And we're so used to just walking forwards and maybe stopping and looking to the left and right.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't actually stop and look round or look up. And you'd be amazed all of a sudden. It might just be the way the light hits the trees. And in fact, that's reminded me of a shoot that I helped Matt out with, I think a couple of years ago. It was for a vineyard. And do you remember, you wanted beautiful sunshine, and that day we just didn't have it. We had no sunshine, but I brought along a couple of 1,000 watt halogen lamps, which we ran off a generator. And those combined with, I think it was 3 or 4 speed lights on Pocket Wizards, dotted down the avenue of trees with the ladies picking the grapes.
We created our own sunshine.
We created a beautiful summer's day. And that was only through thinking about light and going for walks in the woodland, for example, knowing how light filters naturally through leaves and foliage and that sort of thing. You may not use that knowledge straight away, but you'll find yourself on a shoot thinking, do you know what, we should be able to replicate this, because I remember seeing and it's the same with all sorts of things. You don't necessarily know when these skills are going to kind of be needed, but it's good to know they're there, and a lot of skills are transferable. It might be something that, you know, we shot some nice exclusive furniture in an office today, but then we might be trying to light a portrait of a guy with a mountain biking outfit or something.
Kate Moss in a bikini.
Or have you got that lined up?
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
You're probably not going to get that glamour with me, unfortunately.
She's on my list.
Is she?
Yeah.
It's good. It's all kind of food for thought, and I think for me, certainly tonight, the key thing is to not go back and start opening up files. And I think both Matt and I do spend a lot of time working late and sitting straining our eyes at monitors into the night, but sometimes you have to just switch off, recharge your own batteries yourself, have some nice food and just relax, and then start afresh the next day. Because actually, when it comes to image selection, you can be too close to your images.
Yes, you can.
And that's something that Matt's going to be doing for me shortly, because I've got my Giles Bambidge Photography website is due for a revamp, and it's going to be quite different. And I'm going to get Matt to sit down and tell me how awful my pictures are.
I'm going to
fight my corner and say, well, okay, but isn't that quite a nice one? And I'll say, yeah, all right, granted, that's all right, that'll stay in.
Yeah.
But actually, just getting someone else to look at your work, never be afraid of that. And if the person that's looking at them is someone that you trust and value their judgment, and if you can just leave your ego at the door and step back, it's never a bad thing. So, lessons learnt, thoughts for the day. Matt, thank you for your help today. I said it at the time.
That's right, trying to
set up this velvet. I kind of had this image in my head of how it would have to be constructed, and I thought, I just don't want to be flailing around just myself, and I certainly didn't want the client to be saying, you know, do you want me to hold this, and where does this need to go, and it's not their job to do
that.
So I appreciate your help, and I'm going to I'm going to go home now because you want to, I'm sure, spend time with your family as I do with mine.
And sort my emails
and
out.
Oh God, don't let's start talking podcast. About. Yes, yeah. Matt's had awful trouble with his emails right from the very start of the day when I, well, before I got here, and sort of collected but you and
probably
headed
continue
off.
Long into the night.
Yeah, yeah. But on that wonderful bombshell about the wonderful glamour of photography,
yes.
There's another podcast there that I recorded a while ago. I shall link to that in the show notes.
Oh.
Yes, Matt, thanks very much, and we'll leave
Adios.
It there.
As I record this, I'm awaiting confirmation of image selection from the client, and once the final images have been supplied, it'll be really good to see those pictures in context doing what they should. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.